What's up, you guys? Welcome back to Chasing Your Best. This podcast is and always dedicated to the golf learning curve and giving you all the tools and resources and best practices that I can provide you with, and just being dedicated to treating golf as a skill and a lifelong sport that you can leverage your time and efforts over the long haul to make the most out of it. Golf is a game that's really rewarding, and it can be hard from time to time to step back and see that the process is what makes it rewarding, but that's what it is. It's all the work and all the effort and all the time and all the attention that goes into the game that makes it so sweet when you go out and you hit that shot that you remember forever, or you have that best round, or you just make memories with your friends in awesome, awesome places where we can play this game. Well, it's time to announce a winner. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that left this podcast a review. I very much appreciate each and every single one of those reviews that get left. Our winner for the swing analysis was Gregory out of Midway, Utah. Gregory, I'm going to reach out to you via email. We're going to connect and we're going to get you on the path to playing, making 2020 your best golfing year yet. Aside from that, I just want to have a real, like, honest conversation with you guys. I almost always come into these things with an agenda, with something on my mind, with something that I want to do with the podcast. And today I don't really have that. I thought right now I figured it would just be important to have, like, a candid conversation about the state of our industry, the state of the game. And maybe the state of, like, your mental and physical health, because I know when you were stuck inside, those things can suffer a little bit. So I don't really have an agenda other than to just have a positive conversation with all of you and hopefully inspire you to do things indoors or outside or whatever you can do to get through this time, to get through these strange times we're living in. And I guess I just want to lead off by saying a few things I'm grateful for and just, a few things I'm grateful for and are important to me. I'm really grateful for FaceTime and video chat and stuff like that. It's made connecting with people all over the world easier, faster, more streamlined, and to have a more genuine connection with people. It's awesome. I have a nephew who I get to see about once or twice a year. I shoot for twice a year, but we don't always get to do that. But the thing of it is since he's been old enough to talk, we've always FaceTimed together. And we've always maintained a really just awesome relationship through the years. And in the past, having phone conversations with young kids is, I don't know if you've ever tried it, but it's hard. And I can remember being a young kid and talking on the phone, and it was almost impossible to try to hold a conversation with an adult for whatever reason. But with FaceTime, you get to look at each other and make faces and goof off and do whatever. And it's more like you're hanging out together. It's good. I'm grateful for FaceTime. I'm grateful for a lot of the friends and family I have that are around me and help support me and my endeavors. Starting a new business is scary. If this is your first podcast listening, this one is definitely different than most. Most podcasts, I'm trying to coach you or help you through the golf learning curve. But I'm grateful for my support system. I've started a new business this year, signed a commercial lease, built it out, and I'm just trying to expand my reach and reach more people and have better facilities and just help people play better golf faster and provide them with all the support that I can through my business. I'm also really grateful for just good health, being in good health. My body feels good. My joints feel good. I don't ache. Fitness has always been a part of my lifestyle, but that doesn't always mean that I've been in perfect health. Like most people, at some point you experience your ups and your downs and stuff like that. But right now I'm healthy, my body feels good, and I think that's just a real blessing. And I think that for me, being able to do things like go work out and be active and get outside and hike and just do stuff like that really helps me with my, like, mental health. I just feel way better. My mind is much clearer. And I function at a much higher level if I've exercised or I've gotten outside and just done something. Yeah, I just wanted to start this podcast by talking about a few of the things I'm grateful for. I've heard so many people mention it, and it's kind of a recurring theme, is that gratitude is really important for mental health. I think it's not often enough that we kind of verbalize the things that we're grateful for. So I just kind of wanted to lead by example and talk about a few of the things that, yeah, I'm happy and proud of and happy to have around me. Now let's talk about the state of our industry a little bit, because it's scary. It's scary for golfers. It's scary for PGA members. There's a lot of uncertainty. But what I do know is that golf's not going anywhere. It's a game that's been around forever. It's one of the oldest sports. It's just a temporary bump in the road that we will get past. And at which timeline, I don't know yet. I know in Washington, we're delayed through May 4th right now. But we will move past it. And I would really encourage you, no matter how inconvenient this time has been for you and your golf game, to just take this time and do something that you've been putting off. Maybe regrip your clubs. Maybe learn a new skill in the backyard. Practice the things that you've been extremely uncomfortable with. Because here's the thing about changing a golf swing and changing motor patterns, because that's a lot of what beginning changes are. It's learning new motor patterns, learning how to move differently and stuff like that. It can be super uncomfortable. And if you're going to do those things on the golf course, or try to do them on the golf course or in the midst of season, it can be really, really difficult, and you have to be committed to that process. Now, right now, if you're not playing a ton of golf, if you can use this as an opportunity to relearn your motor programs, it's a wonderful time to do that, because when you go to pick up a club after a certain amount of time in training, those things are going to start to feel natural. You're not going to have to fight your way through them. Now, let me give you some best practices for relearning motor programs and patterns. Your best practice, generally speaking, is not done in long blocks. It's not going into your backyard and swinging for an hour. Your best practice, where you're going to retain the most, is however long you can stay focused for and get good practice or good stretching in. And that really varies person to person, and you have to kind of find the sweet spot for how long you can focus. But I would say a very honest assessment of enough time to make a motor change is more repetitions, smaller doses, and do it more frequently. So for example, if I was trying to learn to turn differently, let's say I was trying to tilt my left shoulder more down towards the ground, down towards the ball. If I practiced a stretching drill where I did that for like 3 to 5 minutes, 3 to 10 minutes, and I did that twice a day, 3 to 4 times a week, I'd estimate that when I came out of a month that I was going to be really good at that, and that would be part of my golf swing. Now let's break that down. Let's say it's 10 minutes a day, twice a day, 3 times per week. So that's 20 minutes times 3 is 60 minutes. Times 4 weeks in a month is 4 hours. That's 4 hours of time commitment to make a motor pattern change that's going to affect the rest of your golf game for the rest of your life. Now, that's a round of golf. That's a round of golf, and a fast round of golf at that. Now, if you cannot commit that kind of time to playing better golf, to making a motor pattern change, well, then I think you kind of should reassess, you know, what's important to you, because it doesn't sound to me like playing better golf is more important to you. It sounds like playing more golf is more important to you, and there can be a difference. So that being said, what I want you to understand about making a change is it's different for everybody. You have to find where that stimulus is, where you can get effective practice in, but you're not just out there beating balls. And especially as most of us being adult learners, and most of us that listen to this podcast are adult learners, it requires thought and effort to change. A lot of people say things like, oh, well, it should feel natural, or that change doesn't feel natural. Well, let me tell you something about being an adult learner. Is at this stage in the game, for us to change what we do, how we move, we have to think our way through those things. They don't just up and poof and happen. And we have to surround ourselves with all the support and checks and balances. So when we're making those changes, we're able to visually watch them and get positive feedback or negative feedback. And the other thing about this is just having the right state of mind going into a change. understanding that it's going to take you time, but slow and steady wins the race. And there's going to be ups and downs. And if there was one piece of advice that I could just, if I could just blast it out to every golfer who's ever played the game that wants to play the game better, it's just that. That golf is hard. It's a skill. But over time, with a concerted effort, you can make the change. But it's not going to be easy. And you're going to see ups and downs through that path. You're going to see days when you pick up the club and it just doesn't, you know, you're not even sure you know what aim to hold. And then you're going to have days when you go out and play golf and it's going to be like the best day ever. And you're going to have those highs and lows. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is that you understand your path to improvement. You understand the direction you want to go with your golf game. You prioritize it because it's important to you. And if it's important to you and playing better golf is important to you, then you set aside the time to do the things like the small drill work that goes the long way, or doing things like journaling your practice and journaling your drills and writing those things down and writing down your goals and discussing those things. You make those things a priority because golf is important to you. That stuff is important. And I don't know if you can tell or not, but it certainly fires me up. It's probably the main reason I started this podcast is because there's a lot of really good information out in the world of golf instruction. But there's very few systems that give you a priority list that help you understand how to make the changes, how to go through it and stuff like that. And I just want to help you all declutter your thoughts and narrow your focus. And I think one of the best ways to do that is just to simplify what you're working on. Don't try to work on multiple things at one time. Pick one thing. What do you think is the most important thing you should be working on? What is that one thing that could maybe impact a couple other things? Work on that thing and get really, really good at it. And once you've mastered that one thing, then pick the next most important thing to work on and just knock it down as you go. Chip, 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 chip away at it. Chip away at it, chip away at it, chip away at it. And one day you're going to look back and realize, wow, I don't even know who that old golfer was. I don't even know who that old slicer was. That was some nasty version of myself behind me. Now look at me. Now look at the contact I make. Now look at where my divot is. Now look at how my ball flies. And yeah, I guess at the end of the day, the big thing is just to understand that when you go into this process of trying to play better golf and trying to make a change and trying to make a withstanding change is not to go into it with the mindset that, hey, I'm going to go change my grip and everything's going to be A-okay. Or, hey, I'm going to go get this new tip I read out of this big magazine and everything's going to be A-okay. That's the worst mindset you can have. You're essentially setting yourself up for failure. Because when you go out to practice, you're going to associate the good shots with the tip. And then when it goes bad, you're going to get so bummed out that you don't even have a path to improvement. And I want you to have a path to improvement. I want you to have a narrow path to improvement where you can focus on what's most important to you and just grind and hustle and work on it and make the most out of your time. I think when I'm helping a person try to play better golf, I try not to add to their time budget, meaning that if they're like, let's say their time budget for golf is 6 hours per week, meaning that they're playing 18 holes once, and then they have roughly 2 hours of practice outside of that. When they come in and they say, hey, I'm a 15, I want to be a 10, I don't add to their time budget. And I don't think it's necessary for most people. If you're trying to play golf on a professional level, yeah, your time budget needs to be pretty darn big. But if you're playing golf at the club level or, you know, the recreational level, generally speaking, you don't have to add more time to your time budget. It's just using your time differently, using your time with a more concerted effort, a more intentional effort. So when you are practicing, you're very, very focused on what's important for you. Maybe that's your short game. Maybe that's relearning how to move well. Maybe that's having good fundamental movement. Maybe that's creating better contact, hitting the center of the club face more often, working on your swing path, creating a more manageable face to path angle, working on your angle of attack, whatever it is. Let's figure it out. Let's work on it together, but let's do it in a way where we can be smart. I want you to be smart about this. I want you to work smarter, not harder. All right? I don't want to add to your time budget. I just want you to use your time differently so you can have the kind of experience you want out of this golf game. And you can, and golf can be your happy place. And yeah, we're living in a time of uncertainty, and I just want, I wanted to take a minute to touch base with all of you and just talk a little bit about what we have going on and how you can use your time. So here's some action items for you. Really put some thought into what's holding you back from playing better golf. Is it hitting more fairways, hitting more greens? What are the ingredients that go into that recipe? How do I hit more greens? Do I need to hit the ball straighter? Do I need to create better contact? Do I need to hit it more near the middle of my club face? Do I need to hit more fairways to allow myself to hit more greens? Do I need to make more putts? Where is that? Where in the world? What does that look like for you? What's important for you? What's going to help you play better golf? Then let's use this time proactively and just let's set aside 60 minutes a week to practice golf differently. We're going to split that up across 3 different days with 2 10-minute sessions. 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening. That's your practice for the day. Your stretching, your putting, whatever it is, that's your baseline. If you want to practice more than that, I'm certainly not opposed to that, but that's your baseline for time. Let's figure out what's important for you. Let's get some work in. If you need any help with it, reach out to me on Instagram. I'm happy to point you in the right direction. If you want to work together on a more formal level, I have taken on a few online clients and I'm kind of testing the waters. I want to see how efficient it is. When I launch a program like that, I want everything to work and work really well. So I would say right now I'm doing some testing and I'm just making sure things are working. I'm making sure it's effective, making sure I'm effective with my delivery and stuff like that. But if you wanted to work together in a more formal capacity, you can reach out to me via email too. For starting online now before I launch anything formally, I will give you a very, very fair rate because it is a bit of a learning curve for me as well. All right, you guys, I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. I know you have a lot of choices out there. It seemed like when I launched this thing, there were only about 10 podcasts that were really out there in the golf world, and now there are a whole bunch. So when you come back and listen to this, it makes me grateful. It makes me grateful, and it's been fun to watch this thing grow and just see the reach and the amount of the different areas it reaches and hear the stories of the people that play this game. And we're all united by this game that involves a ball and a club and a hole. And you could be playing in a field, you could be playing in a jungle, you could do it anywhere. That's what makes this game so special. So thank you for being exactly who you are. I appreciate you, and I will catch you back here, same time, same place, next week.